Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Center Stage. I am your host, Danielle Johnson, and I'm so glad that you're here this morning. This is a really cool space where we're able to hear about what's happening in Tucson and some of the work that nonprofits are doing. And we've got a really good show for you today. We have Sarah Reed, who is with Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona. So thank you so much, Sarah, for being here this morning. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay, so I always like to start out with just an overview of, you know, what you guys are doing and some of the services that you're providing and how you're impacting the city of Tucson.
Wonderful. Well, the Children's Advocacy Center, we are part of a national network of children's advocacy centers. We provide really two branches of services. One branch is our investigative side, where we work with children who have been either a victim or a witness of a crime. Often that's child abuse, but it could be really any witness to any type of crime. And we provide forensic interviews, medical exams to collect evidence, and advocacy services for those children and their families. We work very closely with law enforcement and with DCS in that process to create a space for kids who've been through something really difficult to have a space that's child-friendly and trauma-informed and able to provide them with a surrounding buffer around them as they go through the process. We like to say the CAC is where abuse ends and healing begins. The other branch of services that we provide is our prevention education program. So we do a lot of work with parents, parenting workshops, classes. We have a book group. We have parent cafes that we do. We also do community outreach, which are open events to get the community more aware about child abuse prevention and the supports that are available. And we do professional development trainings as well. So those last two, the community outreach and the professional development, those are the ones that mostly fall under me. Those are the things I do. I'm the training and community outreach coordinator there. So we have ongoing events and opportunities for people in the community just to learn more about child abuse prevention, about strengthening families, and about trauma-informed care kind of in general.
And everything you just said, I mean, that's so much. And knowing that it's, you know, a national program, that's really cool to just know that there's some consistency in different places as well, and that, you know, it's something that unfortunately a lot of kids are going to experience some kind of trauma or something where they need to have someone who is trauma informed, who can help them through the process and help them to share information if needed, but to really be able to heal and to process what has happened.
Absolutely. And that's a lot of why child advocacy centers exist. When they were originally created, the people were realizing that there was this problem of kids who were had already experienced something traumatic, and then they were getting into the process of the investigative process and prosecution and going through the court and so forth, of where they were basically being re-victimized, re-traumatized by the system, having to tell their story over and over again to people who maybe didn't know how to talk to kids or weren't understanding about how to make that a safe space for them as they process these experiences and so forth. So the CAC model, the Children Advocacy Center model, is created to provide that safe space where people who are trained on how to talk to kids and how to help them with these types of experiences and how to interview them in a way that isn't going to re-trigger or re-traumatize them, kids can go there and be provided with that assistance.
Well, in experiencing something as a child that you know is wrong, you know this is not okay. There's this fear oftentimes that kids have that they did something wrong or that it was their fault, it was part of, you know, that they were part of the reason that this bad thing happened. And so being able to have someone who's understanding and doesn't give them the impression, you know, if you have to retell that story, I'm sure that you just feel like you got in trouble over and over and over again. Yeah. And it just makes it so much harder to heal.
Absolutely. And we talk about that in the parent classes and workshops that we do. Oftentimes when you are parenting a child who's been through something traumatic, you can't use traditional parenting strategies with that child because their behaviors or their responses or their, you know, the way that they're dealing with these things that they've been through won't respond the same way that a child who hasn't been through those experiences might respond. So when we talk to parents about strategies to help support these children, we talk a lot about how can we adapt some of those more traditional methods to have a trauma-informed approach in even in parenting and in responding to these kids to help not only, you know, when they're with us, but when they go forward with their families, we want to make sure that they have that cushion and space to continue their healing journey.
And you mentioned already a few different aspects of the preventative programs, I guess, that you have available, some of the resources that are available for families when they need it. If someone is needing services, if, you know, they have a child who has experienced some kind of trauma, mm-hmm. how do they get involved or, you know, get connected with you? What's the process of trying to get that education so that they can help their kids?
Absolutely. So our investigative services in terms of the interviews and so forth are only accessible by law enforcement, but all of our community outreach, parenting education, professional development trainings, all of those are free and open to the public. We have all the opportunities listed on our website, which is CACSOAZ, stands for Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona. So CACSOAZ.org. We can also be reached at our main office. We have a 520-724-6600, 520-724-6600. But really, our website has all of those opportunities on it. We are currently just about ready. In the next couple of days, we're going to post our events calendar up there, which will have everything coming up in the next few months with links for families to get involved. And like I said, everything is free and available. For families, most of our opportunities are virtual, so people can join us from wherever. We also have some that are in person, so our local families can come in. We often provide snacks or even dinner when we do our in-person training, so those are extra special. And we do them in English as well as in Spanish for our Spanish-speaking families.
That's awesome. Making it accessible to more people, that's really great. So we, as we're talking about, you know, some of the services and the opportunities for someone who may be parenting a child who has experienced trauma. Sometimes we're around a child for different reasons as a teacher, as an aunt, an uncle, you know, maybe a family member who's not part of the household. If we know someone who's in our lives and we're wanting to just be supportive, Are there classes for that as well, for especially for teachers or childcare workers?
Yes. So that is where our professional development opportunities come into play. We have some that are offered on an ongoing basis, and we also have a whole list of trainings that we can do for groups by request. And again, completely at no cost to those groups. They just contact us and say, you know, we're trying to get our staff educated in, you know, whatever. So we offer mandated reporting, for example. So we mandate reporting law, teaching about what that entails, which is a requirement for a lot of organizations, should be all organizations that work with kids. But we also teach on adverse childhood experiences. We teach on growing in resilience. We teach on trauma-informed care practices, stewards of children, which is about child sexual abuse prevention. Protective factors, which is a model that's been designed on highlighting the main protective factors that help to strengthen families and prevent child maltreatment. All of these trainings are offered off and on through our agency, but we can, like I said, also do them by request if organizations are interested in having one that's tailored just for their setting.
And if a school or some kind of group were to call you and ask you for these trainings, are these free for them as well?
Absolutely. Yes, any organization who works with families can request a training.
Is there a minimum group number that, you know, in order to book something like this?
So we prefer to have at least 8 in a class, just so that there's the ability to have a good conversation. We've made a few exceptions on that, but we prefer 8. And depending on what the group is, we may have a limit of about 30. I think I've done the biggest training I did actually had 85 people, and that was recently. So that was a bit large, but we'll accommodate. We work with the needs of the group.
Okay, that's very good information. I think that, you know, as someone who used to be in education, it is something that, you know, as much as there are things in place to try to help parents or to try to help teachers or, you know, someone who's working in a school, there's not enough. Mm-hmm. There's not enough that's easily accessible. You have to go looking for it. And so, you know, just knowing that that's free and that's available and all they have to do is call and schedule it with you. You know, I really hope that our listeners will take advantage of that, because as a teacher, I mean, I'll tell you that I would have loved to have had more training, especially at the school that I was at when I was first teaching high school, because there were a lot of kids that were in my classes that I knew had difficult and traumatic backgrounds, but I didn't personally know how to approach it in the right way or how to be supportive in the right way. And it was something that it's not something you can just learn on your own. You really need to get the training and to understand what is important in helping them.
Absolutely. And you know, we have our in all of our outreaches and our professional development, our parenting classes, we really want to not just help those who have already been affected by trauma, but prevent it from happening in the first place. I tell people I work in child abuse prevention, and I've had people say, well, child abuse isn't preventable, right? It's not preventable. And I say, yes, it is. It is preventable. And it's about supporting families and providing them with the resources that they need and making sure that they have people around them who are, you know, in their corner and going to go to bat for them and make sure that they are able to take care of those kids in the best way that they can. And so we are in the business of supporting families and preventing child abuse and really trying to make a difference, not just here in Tucson, but in our Southern Arizona and across the state as much as we can.
And are there any, just a couple of things you can give us talking about prevention real quick, a couple big ideas for how we can do that? We've got about 30 seconds, but...
well, that's a big topic. a lot of it has to do with support. It has to do with parents or caregivers having those people who are their connections, who are there for them, who are going to support them, who are going to help them when they have different difficulties. You know, we are a culture that's very isolating, where we tend to think every person for themselves, and that's not conducive for raising children. Like, we need to have each other as our supports. Caregivers and parents spending time in their own self-care in order to build our own resiliency is also a real big key.
We will be back in just a couple minutes. Thank you so much for being here listening. This is Center Stage, Nonprofits of Tucson. Welcome back to Center Stage. It's so nice to have you here listening to us this morning. We have Sarah Reed here this morning talking about the Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona. We've talked a little bit about some of the services that they provide, both in an investigative kind of a situation, working with the police department, working with things that are just difficult situations for kids that have experienced trauma, but also community outreach, working with families, doing trainings to try to help people who are working with kids so that they can be more prepared to help a child who has experienced some kind of trauma. And there are so many resources that Sarah has already mentioned, so many opportunities. If you yourself need some training, or if you know of someone who does, they also do training for schools, for organizations, anyone who's working with kids. They will come out and do some trainings for you. So huge opportunities. And if someone wants to look into that more and see what's available, can you give us that website again and the phone number?
Absolutely. So the website for the Children's Advocacy Center, it's CACSOAZ. So it stands for Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona, CACSOAZ.org. And the phone number to reach us is 520-724-6600.
Okay, thank you. And we're going to talk a little bit about kids, especially if you are a parent or, you know, if you're working with kids, trying to build resilience in kids. And this is something that the Advocacy Center talks about, and some of the trainings, you know, will help people with this. Can you give us just a little bit of an idea of, you know, what we as parents or someone who works with kids can do to help build that in our kids?
Absolutely. So the thing about resilience is it's not something you're born with. It's something we develop. It's a, it's like a skill, an ability to cope with difficult situations. And a lot of times people define resilience as the ability to bounce back after a difficult situation. I've always had a little hesitancy around that definition, because I think that sometimes when you go through something difficult, you know, bounce back implies you're going to go back to the way things were before. But I don't know that that's always possible. And I don't know that that's always a bad thing. I think that our experiences do change us and they shape us. And what's more important, perhaps, is how we respond to those experiences and how we grow from them. So I think of resilience more as moving forward following adversity, moving forward following crises or traumas. How do we do that? And so I think for children, for adults who are supporting children, a lot of that is about building some of those social emotional skills, being able to manage difficult emotions. You know, sometimes with kids, we try to quiet their emotions or tell them, well, you shouldn't feel that way, or don't feel like that, or don't have it, whatever. When there's nothing wrong with how we feel, it's just how we feel. And rather, we need to help kids find ways to communicate what they're feeling and express it in a healthy way, process it in a healthy way, and have those feelings not own them, but teach them how to control, control, I guess is an okay word, but how to manage the difficult feelings when they come. Also, just helping kids with the social piece. I mentioned before break about the importance of social connections, and that's important for kids and adults. It's important for all of us to have those supportive relationships. They have shown over and over again in studies that the number one protective factor for helping people to overcome adversities is having supportive relationships in your life. For kids, even having one supportive adult relationship, someone who's in their corner and supporting them and believing in them no matter what, can make a huge difference in their outcomes. And obviously the more supportive relationships we can surround a child with, the better off they're going to do.
Yeah, that support, I mean, that is a critical piece, of course. And we want to be able to have kids feel like they're safe and they can come and talk to us about whatever happens. And, we've talked just a little bit about prevention. Mm-hmm. And it's a big topic. And it's something that, if you're in a situation where there's potential for a child to experience some kind of trauma, some kind of child abuse, what would you give as just some tips or some advice for starting out and getting preventative measures in place to do something to help make sure nothing happens to that child?
Mm-hmm. Well, research has shown us that child abuse and neglect is very connected to family overwhelm. So when parents and caregivers are overwhelmed and under heavy loads of stress, which may be related to the child and it may not be, it may be other factors in their lives, that increases the likelihood of child maltreatment. So if we want to decrease the likelihood of maltreatment, what we want to do is strengthen that family. We want to try to reduce some of that load. How can we connect that family to services? How can we provide a supportive circle around that family? How can we help alleviate some of these other stressors that they have in their lives so that that overwhelm feeling goes down, that stress goes down, and that will greatly decrease the likelihood of maltreatment happening in that family. And really, it's just, sometimes, I told you we teach mandated reporting, and so sometimes it's keeping an eye on people when they're starting to you see maybe some at-risk signs or some concerns, and you're worried about that trajectory. Let's not just keep them on a back shelf somewhere like, oh yeah, I'm going to keep an eye on that. Let's actually intervene. Let's step in and see what we can do to support them and provide that assistance so that things don't get to the point where they have to come to us for a forensic interview.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes parents, especially in that situation where you feel so overwhelmed, you feel so stressed, you're probably going to take that as criticism or an accusation. And so being able to instead come in alongside and just say, hey, what can we do to support you? What can we do to help your family? Mm-hmm. It's a completely different angle in helping them understand that you're there to help and to support, not to accuse. Mm-hmm. That's a very different, I guess, mindset for them to understand that there is help available, mm-hmm. and that everyone isn't out to get them, but actually wants to help them.
Right. And that takes, that attitude of empathy, of understanding, we all need help sometimes. We all go through hard stuff. And it's kind of like, we'll help you this time. And next time, maybe you'll help us. Like, we're in this together. We need to be a community that supports one another, especially our families.
Yeah. If someone is interested in volunteering, what are some opportunities that they might have to try to volunteer, either, a one-time thing or possibly regular volunteering?
So we do take volunteers. We also have internships available. We work with all of three of the, well, three. We work with University of Arizona, ASU, and Pima Community College, and we take interns that are enrolled in school. For our regular volunteers, some of them come in on a regular, semi-regular basis, maybe once or twice a month, and do a shift in the office, just helping out with preparing for activities and things. And then we have other volunteers who are kind of special events focused. So when we have like a big outreach event or whatnot, then they might come in just for that particular event. But all of those opportunities, there's a link on our website. People can get connected to the process in order to volunteer with us.
And are there, I think we talked before, not on air, just to the two of us, about, you know, age requirements that you do have to be 18 years old to
Correct.
Volunteer?
Yes. So our volunteers do need to be 18 and at least 18 and over. We don't have an age limit. We also, unfortunately, because of privacy reasons, we cannot have volunteers who were previously a client of the CAC. But other than that, we are fairly open.
And you do work with a lot of other nonprofits that are in the area to try to help and provide services together.
Mm-hmm.
Not just what you're doing alone, but all working together for the common goal of helping to strengthen families and to advocate for kids.
Absolutely. We actually, there at the CAC, we house the Southern Arizona Child Abuse Prevention Council, which is made up of, I want to say there's about 28 different organizations representing 5 counties here in Southern Arizona. And we meet together and collaborate on child abuse prevention activities throughout the year. So that's been a really nice collaboration to build some of those partnerships.
And, you know, the great thing about that is the more people that you have that are all working toward a common goal, the more ideas you have, the more things you can do to work together to really accomplish that goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I love when I hear that nonprofits are working together like that, and that, you know, together, working together, being a community who works together toward the common goal, we're going to get there mm-hmm. a lot faster and a lot stronger than
Absolutely.
Trying to do our own thing.
It takes all of us.
And do you have any events that are coming up if someone wanted to come either volunteer or
participate?
Yes.
Absolutely. So we're very excited in coming up in September on Sunday, September 17th from 1 to 4 p.m. We're going to be at the Loft Cinema here in Tucson. We're going to have a celebration of resilience. That's what we've called our event. We are showcasing the film documentary Resilience, which talks about the birth of the adverse childhood experiences movement, the long-term impact, potential impact of childhood trauma on children's brains and bodies. And then the film, it's the magic of the film really is then it talks about what different communities are doing around the country to combat those long-term effects by building resilience in families and in communities. And it's very inspiring, and it kind of leaves you on this almost call to action of, again, it takes all of us, right? This is something that the community needs to come alongside and do. So we are going to be showing the film there at the Loft. We're going to have a little time for discussion, and then Tucson Student Ministries is joining us for some live performances as well, all on this theme of resilience and building community resilience and coming together. We're going to have a few organizations from the community present to share about the services that they're providing. So anyone who wants to get involved in community resilience will have opportunities right there that they can learn about that maybe they didn't know about before. So we're really hoping that a lot of people will show up for that, be inspired, and be moved to really make a difference. So our Celebration of Resilience event, again, it's Sunday, September 17th, 1 to 4, and it's free, again, open to the public. All of our tickets are available through Eventbrite. There's a link on our website as well.
Okay, so do you need to get a ticket ahead of time then, not just show up at the door?
We would prefer people to get tickets ahead of time, just we don't want to run out of seats or break fire code. So
okay.
Eventbrite is the place to go for the tickets.
And that would be for anyone who's interested just in general in getting involved, who maybe is considering services for their family, anyone who's part of the community?
Anyone in the community, absolutely, who's interested in learning more about the effects of childhood trauma and how we can build stronger families and communities to have better outcomes for children.
And is this an event that you're going to want to bring kids to, or is this something that you're going to want to focus on older teens and adults?
So the film recommendation is 11 or 12 and up, just because it does talk about childhood trauma. It's fairly well done, but I think the concepts would be a little difficult for younger children. So probably 11 or 12 and up.
Okay, and can you give us that website and phone number one more time?
CACSOAZ.org, CACSOAZ.org, phone number 520-724-6600.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. This is Danielle Johnson with Center Stage. Stay around for a little bit and you'll hear us in just a few minutes on the I Am Real Estate Show. Thank you.